All right, everybody, say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, a welcome to the newcomers for Basra and Baruch Hashem, Shalom Aleichem to those who are returning Baruch Hashem for another Masechta. Yasher Koach to Said, to Yehuda, to Ari for a beautiful Siyum last night, and Yasher Koach to Yehuda for giving the Shir in my absence. So you'll see that Basra Daf Beis is recorded twice on the podcast. Once I recorded in Eretz Yisrael, so that it should be up for the podcast listeners on time, and last night from the Siyum as well. So hopefully you'll have the opportunity to hear that. If you didn't hear it last night, you could chazer it twice. And we're going to begin this morning in Mir Tashem on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We actually have a really beautiful Bava Basra is a magnificent Masechta, as you're going to see. Magnificent Masechta. And we're going to be doing next couple of days, a beautiful Gemara. So remember again, we're picking up top of Gimel Amud Aleph Nishlach Rina. So remember again, the specific topic that we are talking about is the topic of Hezek Re'iyah, sight damage. Damage done through unimpeded sight lines. So we discussed yesterday Machlokes as to whether or not Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. It appeared, based on the conclusion of the Gemara, that Hezek Re'iyah is indeed Hezek. So now the Gemara is going to go back about, essentially we're going to do, now, for the next number of lines, is we're going to do a little bit of a reverse of the Gemara's statement, or the Gemara's flow from yesterday. So, Lishnach Rina, another version of the preceding conversation. Armilei, Savrua Mai Mechitza. So remember again, both sides, a lot of this discussion is rooted in the ambiguity in the opening phrase of the Mishnah. Because then remember, the opening phrase of the Mishnah was, Hashutfin Sharatsu Lasos Mechitza B'chatzer. If ultimately partners want to go out and make a mechitza in a chatzer, bonin es hakosalanta, they build a wall in the middle. So the fundamental machlokes was rooted in what? How do you define the word mechitza? Two possible definitions. What are the two possible definitions? Either A, wall, guda, or B, a partition. But a partition, remember, doesn't mean a physical partition. Partition just means a desire or a joint desire to split the property. So remember, and all those two definitions yield two different conclusions. Alt hezek re'iyah. Says the Gemara, so lishnach rina, amri le'savru, amai mechitza, what is a mechitza? Plugta. It's simply a division of the land. Tichsev vati mechtsas ha'ida. Quoting the pasuk that says they divided up the camp, the chayvan diratzu bonin esakosel ba karchon, and therefore the Mishnah teaches me that once partners agree that they want to divide up the land, we force them to put up the wall. Now, when we say we force them, usually what that means is even if one of the parties does not want to put up the wall, we force the recalcitrant party to pay for the wall and also to go ahead to put up the wall, to pay for the wall. All right, they're going to build it and they're going to pay for it. Little political humor, tough crowd, okay? So says the Gemara, the following. So remember, we force them to go out and put up the wall and to pay for the wall. So the Gemara says, Bal Karachan, what do you see from that? Alma, Hezek Riyash Mehezek. Now, both say, now the fact that once the parties agree to divide the chatzar, that one party could force the other to put up the wall and to pay for the wall, indicates to us that Hezek Riyah, site damage, is bona fide damage. So the Gemara says, one second. Ema, my Mechitza. Why do you say that? Perhaps, what does Mechitza mean? Guda. Maybe mechitza means a wall. This land mechitza is a keren shenifritza, because we won't say, remember, this is just repeating from yesterday. If you have a wheat field and a vineyard, they're in close proximity to each other. The vineyard has a wall around it. And what happens? The wall around the vineyard falls down, posing a klai hakaren problem. I'm not going to go into this again because we explained this yesterday. Omer lo, I, the owner of the wheat field, could say to the owner of the vineyard, Gidar, fix the breach in your wall. Nifritza, let's say the wall comes down again. Omer lo gidar, I could say to the owner of the vineyard, fix your wall. Nesyai shemenu velo gadra. But in the event that the owner of the vineyard says, I'm not fixing it, and what happens? And as a result, the vines grow into the wheat field, and there's a joint growth between the two. Ki areze kidesh. This ultimately will go ahead and will prohibit the growth. The chayev ba'achra yusa. And ultimately, again, one will be, the owner of the vineyard will be chayev for any damages. So says the Gemara, v'tayma diratzu. Now, so remember, so what do we see from there? We see from there that the definition of a mechitza is what? Is a wall. So now the way, we'll say, if you read the Mishnah that way, then the way the Mishnah reads is the following. Hashutfin sharatzu lasos mechitza. If Shutfin decided to put up a wall, then then we build the wall, which tells you what? The reason they have to put up a wall is because both agreed to this. But had they not both agreed, we would not obligate the parties to put up a wall. What do you see from there? Alma, hezek ri'ya lav shmei hezek. What do you see from there? You see from there that sight damage is not called real damage. Ihachi, if that's the case, bonin asakosel, then why does it say, why does the Mishnah read, why does the Mishnah state, we build the wall, bonin osumi by the way, should just say the following, shutfin sherasu lasos mechisa, shutfin they wanted to go out and put up a wall, bonin oso, they built it. Why do you have to say bonin asakosel? So the Gemara says, elamai plukta. Rather, what do you have to say? You have to say that, right, mechitza does not mean a wall. Rather, what does mechitza mean? Mechitza ultimately means a division. Ihachi, if that's the case, sheratzu lasos mechitza, sheratzu lachzos mi boile. If that's the case, then why does the Mishnah say they want to make a mechitza? It should say sheratzu lachzos. They want to make a division. To which the Gemara says, keda amri inshi ta na'avid plugta. Because Rabbi Yossi says the Gemara that the Mishnah is just trying to employ the lashon that people normally use. When people go ahead and say, when partners normally want to go ahead and divide a property, they simply say, ta na'avid plugta, let us come together and make a division. Therefore the Mishnah uses the lashon of mechitza as well. As it says the Gemara, vi'i hezek riya shmei hezek, but if you hold that sight damage is considered to be bona fide damage, so my iria ratzu, then Rabbi Yossi say, why do I need the ratzon of both parties? Afilu lo ratzunami. Rabbi Yossi, remember, if you hold hezek riya shmei hezek, that sight damage, unimpeded sight lines into my fellow's property is bona fide damage, then the halacha is, even if one of the parties wants the wall, or the truth is even better stated, either if neither of the parties wants the wall, there should be an obligation to put up the wall to prevent one from seeing into the property of the other. To which the Gemara says, my area ratzu, why does the Mishnah say ratzu? Afilu lo ratzu nami, even if they didn't want it, there should be an obligation to put up the wall. Amar Abasi Rav Yochanan, Mishnah seinu, kishein badin chaluka. So we'll say, listen to this. So now the Gemara is introducing a dramatic change over here. The Gemara is suggesting that we alluded to this last night a little bit, which is that we're talking about over here of jointly owned property. And then the partners decide to go ahead and to disentangle their partnership interests so that they each define, let me go take one step back. In halacha, under normal circumstances, unless otherwise defined, when two people own something, what's the nature of that ownership? Each owns 50% of every particle. Right, so if you could imagine, if Reuven and Shimon own a chatzar jointly, so it's not the pshat that we envision the north side as Reuven's and the south side as Shimon's. Rather, everything is Reuven and Shimon's. When they want to then go ahead and split the property, so then literally what they have to do is they have to define who owns which piece. Now, we alluded to last night, the only time one partner could force the division of partnership property is when the property is at least 8 amas in size. Because if it's 8 amas in size, then what? Then each party will end up with at least the shear, at least the size of dalet amas, which is the least amount of property that represents a significant chatzar. If it's less than 8 amas, then one partner cannot demand a division of partnership assets. So Rabbi Asi is coming along, see the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Mishnah's case is we're dealing with a chatzar that's less than 8 amas. That's what it means when it says, kishein badin chaluka. Rashi says, ches amas lo yachluku. So the chatzar in question is less than ches amas. So the Gemara says, so watch this. The high duratsu, and therefore again, v'hu duratsu. And therefore, the only way that you could have a division of partnership assets when the chatzar is less than 8 amas is when both parties agree. If both parties agree to split it, then we split it. Says the Gemara. So says the Gemara. Hadiratzu. So my kamashvalan. So I mean, what's the chiddush in that? The chiddush lesley bedin chaluka kiratzu pligi. Are you coming to kiratzu palgi? Are you coming to teach me that the Mishnah is teaching me that when you have a chasha that's less than 8 amos, the only way you could split it is if both parties agree? Tanina, we learned that already. Imasai. When is this? So bisman change name rotsim about bisman change name rotsim afilu pachos mikan chokim. When do we say that partners can't go ahead and split the chatzah that's less than 8 amas? That's when they're both not in agreement. But if they are both in agreement, you could split a chatzah no matter how small it is. So what's the chiddush in that? So says the Gemara, I don't understand. I already have, says the Gemara, another braisa later on that teaches me this exact halacha. Why do I need the Mishnah over here to teach me this halacha? To which the Gemara says, imi hasam, because if we would have learned it from there, hava mina afilu pachos mikan bimasifas ba'alma. I would have thought that I will say when that second Mishnah, which the Mishnah points out is on Yud Aleph, when that second Mishnah teaches me that partners, if they agree,
they could divide up a field that is smaller than 8 amas, that means that they could divide it up, but there's no obligation for a wall. They could just put markers to divide up their property interests. Kamash malon hacha kosel. Therefore, our Mishnah teaches us, Rabbi said, that's what? That's whenever partners agree to go ahead and divide up partnership property, what must they put in the middle of them? A wall. And that is true even if the chaser is going to be less than dalar amas for each of them. Velisniha, velolisniha. So okay, if that's the case, then why don't you just state our Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph and forget about the second Mishnah on Yud Aleph? Meaning our Mishnah is the one that teaches us the primary halacha. Forget the later one, to which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Seifa et strichale. And we'll say, we need the Seifa of that Mishnah Yud Aleph. Actually, when I get this, it's very exciting. That what that is that Mishnah teach us? The Kisvei Kodesh. We'll say, that Mishnah is going to teach about what type of partnership assets one partner could demand a division on. In other words, we're going to learn that there are certain partnership assets where if one of the partners says, I want out, he could force a division of partnership assets. But yet, there are other types of assets where even if one partner wants out, he cannot force the split. One of those examples is going to be Kisvei Kodesh. We'll say, if let's say I own together with Reuven, Kisvei Kodesh. What's a Kisvei Kodesh? Tanakh, right? Now remember again, all of their Sfarim were written in scroll forms. So we own a Sefer Torah together. Or for that matter, we own a Tanakh together. Right? So all Chaf Dalet Sfarim are written in one scroll. You had scrolls like that. Those type of things you cannot order a split. That's what that Mishnah comes to teach me. Kisei Kodesh HaPi Shoshem Rotsim, even if both parties desire a split, Lo Yach Loku. We cannot go ahead and split them. So we'll say, we're going to skip the next two lines, right by the dalet in the bracket. To Ada Ashmo Inon, B'she'in Badin Chaluka, V'hudirazu. So we'll say, if that's the case, said the Gemara, instead of teaching me the case of a chatzar that is smaller than 8 amas, and therefore has no din chaluka, has no din of division, and you're framing it now as a case of where both parties wanted the division, Lishma Inon, teach me, B'yesh Badin Chaluka, teach me about the case, ultimately, again, of property that does have a din chalukah, which is what? What kind of property has a din chalukah? 8 amas or more. Va'af agav de lo ratzu. Oh, so says the Gemara, teach me the more chiddushic case. What's the more chiddushic case? Suppose I teach me about a case of a chatzah that does have a din chalukah, where one party could go ahead and therefore order the split, right? More than 8 amas, or 8 amas or more. And therefore, again, va'af agav de lo ratzu, and therefore teach me in that case that I could order the split, and what? And when I order the split, we have to put up a wall. Because if you teach me that case, then what does that teach me? That teaches me that Hezek Re'iya Shmei Hezek, and that's why, again, if I order the division, I have to put up the wall. Because if we would have just been taught the case of a field that has a din chalukah, i.e. 8 amas or more, and even if one of the parties doesn't agree, hava amina she'in ba din chalukah afilu ratzu nami lo. I would have inferred from that in a case of a field that does not have a din chalukah, i.e. less than dalet amas, even if the parties wanted to split the field, one could not compel upon the other to put up a wall. Kamash malam, no. What's the bottom line? So the bottom line that the Gemara seems to be driving at, but we're not committal on it yet, is that whenever there is going to be a division, now division could occur in one of two ways. Either one party could force a division. When could one party force a division? When? If there's 8 or more amas, where each will end up with a field of less than, of dalet amas or more, or in a case where the field is less than 8 amas, but what? Both parties agree. Either way, whenever there is going to be a splitting of partnership assets, there's going to have to be a wall. Why does there have to be a wall? It seems to be because we're saying Hezek Re'iya Shmei Hezek. Umi Matis Amritachi. Can you really say this? V'ha'katani Seifabeya. Look at the end of that. Mishnai Masai Bizman changed name Rotsim. What did it say? And when is this true? When both of them do not want, or I should say, when both of them are not on the same page about the split. Aval Bizman Sheshneim Rotsim. But when both want the split, this is talking about a chatzah that's less than 8 amas. Yachloku, they split it. My love akosel. When we say they split it, does that not mean they split it with a wall? Lo, amasifas ba'alma. Maybe you could just be talking about property markers. If that's the case, listen high below listen high. If that's the case, They just take this case and forget about the first one, to which the Gemara says, "Safe but strichalei ubekis vekodesh apapesh shnei rozen loyachloku." No, because we go back to what we said before, which is you need the seifa. Why? Because the seifa teaches me that there are certain cases where one partner cannot order a division of the partnership assets. So fine. So we'll say. So we're not finished with this conversation yet. So b'mai ukim flamasnisim. So let's take a step back. So how have you set up the Mishnah according to what we've just learned? So. So we'll say, the way we set up the case so far, according to this last approach, is that the Mishnah is talking about a chaser that's less than 8 amos. And therefore, again, on a technical level, one partner cannot order the division of the partnership assets. So the Gemara says, we'll say, if that's the case, that if there's not a din chaluka, so then at the end of the day, I don't understand, even if they agree to go ahead, even if they want to split the partnership property, my havi, nahadru buhu. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. So here's the problem, okay? Just follow me with this for just a moment. The way we wanted to establish the Mishnah is talking about a chatzah that's less than 8 amos, okay? So therefore, again, the only way to split less than 8, the only way to split a chatzah that's less than 8 amos is how? Is consent, right? Good. Both parties need to agree. So now watch this. Bless you. The way the Mishnah reads is the following. Hashutvin sheratzu lasos mechitza. If two partners, who are partners in a chatzah less than 8 amos, decide to split the property, then what's the halacha? Bonan esakosu. Make them put up a wall. Now what the Gemara is inferring is the following. The way the Mishnah seems to read is that once they agree to split, then what? There's no going back. There's no going back. Meaning they have to continue on this course, and they have to go ahead and put up the wall. So it sounds like that once they agree to split, there's no going back on that decision. So ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Ki ratzu, just because they agree to split my havi, nahachupahu, why can't they reverse that decision? So they choose as well say, what they might realize is the following. Once we agree to split the partnership assets, remember, we're talking our partnership assets. We're talking about over here, chatzos less than dollar on this. And then what happens? They open up a basra, beis, and a dollar. What do they see? Now that we're dividing, what do we have to do? We have to put up a wall. Now remember, this is a small chatzah to begin with. What's the halacha? Where does the wall sit? Where does the wall sit? Each one have to contribute 50% of the necessary property to accommodate the width of the wall. So they realize, they say, what's the point of doing this? They want to reverse. So yet the Mishnah seems to indicate that if one of the parties wants to reverse, then they can't. So why not? So the Gemara says, Nahadjubahu, Amr Rabbi Yasser, Rabbi Yochanan, Shakanu Miyadon. So we'll say, what's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is where they made a kinyan. They made a kinyan. So the Gemara says, so b'pashtos, what it sounds like over here is they made like a kinyan chalipin. Right? So they made like a kinyan chalipin with each other. Therefore, they both acquired their respective partnership interests, and therefore there's no reversing it. V'chi kanu mi'adan ma'havi kinyan devarim ba'amahu. But why should such a kinyan be binding? This kinyan is what we call a kinyan devarim ba'amahu. This is actually quite interesting. Look at Rashi for just a moment. You see Rashi, kinyan devarim hu? It's in the short lines, about 12 lines in. Kinyan, right across from the Hagos Habach. Right across from Tosis, Kinyan Dvarim Abama. If you see that Tosis, Kinyan Dvarim Abama, you go right across, it's right there in Rashi. Kinyan Dvarim Hu, Ve'en Chalipin Konin Eladavar Hanikne, O Mecher, O Matana, O Shibut Karko, Shakinyan Chal Alav O Metaltar. This is actually quite interesting. The Kinyan of Chalipin usually works with something tangible. With something tangible. So for example, right, when do we often do chalipin? When do we do chalipin? All of you do chalipin at least once a year. Pesach, right? When you come to sell your chametz, you go over to whoever you're selling your chametz with, and what happens? He'll give you a handkerchief or a pen, and you'll acquire the pen, and as a result, ultimately, that individual acquires your chametz, or acquires the rights, the ownership of your chametz. So chalipin devolves on something tangible. Says the Gemara, so what? Reuven and Shimon did a chalipin, but what is the chalipin going on? What is it devolving upon? No. What they did chalipin on Rabbi Yossi was what? They each acquired a different part of the field. Meaning what the chalipin did was, Reuven acquired the north side, Shimon acquired the south side. So the chalipin actually affected ownership over respective parts of the field. What's the case? Where each one went into their now newly owned part of the field, and each did a proprietary act, kinyan chazaka, But some American Rashi points out, once they came in Chazaka, they dug a little bit, they put up a fence, right? Whatever they walked on it, whatever they did, but Mamish, they went ahead and they acquired the field. That's why, again, so therefore, the way we're setting up the Mishnah, so we're narrowing the case a lot, is where, again, Reuven and Shimon partners in a field that's less than Chasamas, they agreed to split. How do they agree to split? Split? They're Mekabel Kinyan. How are they Mekabel Kinyan? Each does a Kinyan that acquires their portion on one respective part of the field. Oh, once that happens, that creates an irreversible chain of events, which leads in one direction, which is the creation of the wall between them. Makom Shinagu Livnos. So we'll say, so now we're going to go, and now we transition a little bit. So we'll say, so just to understand where we are ending off, we are going to hold Hezek Riya Shmei Hezek, right? Hezek Riya Shmei Hezek, that again, site damage is considered to be bona fide damage. And that's when partners agree to split up jointly owned partnership interest, partnership property, you have to put a wall between the two properties. Now we're going to transition a little bit. So what did the Mishnah tell me? What do I make, what does the Mishnah teach? What do I make the wall of? So what did the Mishnah say? It depends. What does it depend on? Right? Minagamakam. Right? Minagamakam. So the Gemara gave us a number of different types of building materials. Those building materials are each different because they have different widths of the wall. But you go according to Minagamakam. Says the Gemara, Makam Shinagu Livnos. So the Gemara says, Gvil. Gvil Abne Delo Mishafya. So remember, Gvil are unsmooth stones, rough edge stones. Gozis Abne De Mishafya. Gozis are smooth stones. Dichsiv, Kol Eila Avonim Yikaros Kemidos Gozis. So I will say, first wide line on Gimel Amud Aleph. Kfisin Archi. What's the Kfisin are half bricks. Levainin Livni. Levainin are full bricks. Amali Rabba Barid Rabba Laravashi. Mimai De Gvil Abne Delo Mishafya Ninhu. How do you know that Gvil are unplaned stones, right? Are rough edge stones. V'hai tefach yisera l'marsha dekarnas. And I will say, remember again, the Rashi in the Mishnah taught me that a wall that's made of gvil is 6 tefachim wide versus a wall that is made of guzis is 5 tefachim wide. Now we attribute the extra 1 tefach of width to what? To the rough edges of the stone. The idea when the stone is rough edges, that what does that mean? The edges protrude. So therefore, that extra tefach is because of the stone protrusions. Dilma palga de gozisu v'hai tefach yisera levene orvihu. Maybe gvil is in fact again a half brick, and therefore again that tefach yisera is lebene orvi. Rashi says, "What's lebene orvi?" This is interesting. Rashi says lebene orvi bein dimos shemikan ubein dimos shemikan v'no sein tit be'emza. But also, this is interesting. I actually had this conversation with Ari Lichtman 2 weeks ago about stone facades. So what happens? So some stone facades, also there are two ways you could build a stone wall. You could build a stone wall that is made of whole stones, or you could use two facades and fill the middle with mortar. So what we're going to see is, if you go ahead and you fill the middle with mortar, what ends up happening? That wall is thicker than just a plain stone wall. To which the Gemara says, Kidika Amron, Kfisin Archi, Levainin Livni. Kazabal says, we translated before, Kfisin are half bricks, Levainin are full bricks, Vahai Tefach Yisera Lebene Orvin. And that additional tapach, ultimately, again, will be because of what we'll call the mortar, the filler in the middle, to which the Gemara says, Amar le'u l'tameich, kfisin arche minalan. Well, if that's the case, how do you know that kfisin means half bricks? Ele Gemara gemirila. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, it's because we have a tradition that kfisin are half bricks. Gevil nami amni delo mashafya Gemara gemirila. So we have a tradition that gevil means stones that are unsmooth, stones with rough edges. So we'll say, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, we took it for granted that certain names mean certain things. All the Gemara is saying is, how do you know that? To which the Gemara's bottom line answer is, we have a masorah, we have a tradition that these are the names of these type of stones. So the Gemara goes weiter. Se'ika de Amri, Amrali Rav Acha Breit Rav Avi Yol Rav Ashi, Mimai Dai Kfisin Archi Ninhu V'hai Tefach Yisrael Lebene Arvi. So how do I know that Kfisin are half bricks, and that additional Tefach ultimately again is for the filler mortar in between the two facades? So the Gemara says, Dilma, my Kfisin Avdol Meshafion. Maybe Kfisin are what? Smooth stones that have not been smoothed. V'hai Tefach Yisrael Lemorshel Dekarnosa. And ultimately again, that extra Tefach of width is for the jagged edges. Kedabri Minon, because as we said, Gavil, Amne de lo Meshafion. Gavil are stones that have not been smoothed. Gozes, Amne de Meshafion. Gozes are stones that have been smoothed. Vahai Tefach Isera le Mursha de Karnosa. And ultimately, again, that extra Tefach for a Gavil wall is because of the stone protrusions. Amrle, will it Tamech Gavil Amne de lo Meshafion Minolon? But according to your logic, how do you know that Gavil are stones that have not been smoothed? Elo Gimara Gimirila. Rather, we have, it's a tradition. So the Gemara says, Halchan Ami Sotu by Kfisin Gimara Gimirila. We have a tradition as well. So the Gemara says, Amra Abai, Shemamino, Kolbeni Orvi Tefach, Tefach. So I will say, so Abai is supposed to say a very important halacha that you see from here that any time you're using a stone wall that's made up of two facades, two self standing facades, and you're putting a filler in there, that filler is one Tefach. That filler takes up a tavach of space. So the Gemara is supposed to say, you understand, we say to yourself, who cares? This is very important because remember, the din we've established in the Mishnah is that each partner must contribute 50% of the necessary land to accommodate the width of the wall. Therefore, remember, in determining whether or not you should split partnership assets, part of what goes into that decision is what? How much property each is going to lose in order to accommodate the width of the wall. So what do you see from here? That the filler middle, we'll call the mortar middle, is going to be a tefach. To which the Gemara says, one second, hanimili betina. That's only true if you're using mud. Aval berichsa boicha. So this is actually very interesting. So they used to use different types of mortar fillers. So sometimes they would use mud, but other times they would use some type of combination. If you look at Rashi, Rashi's over richsa is avanim dakos vitit bein shnei adimusos. Small pebbles, like gravel. It's gravel along with mortar. So apparently mud was a better filler, a better mortar to hold the facades together than this gravel, which makes sense because the gravel also leaves air pockets and different things like that. So the tefach was only if you're using mud, but if you were using some other type of filler, you needed to give more space. Others say, no, the tefach is if you're using like the gravel mixture, but if you're using mud, you actually need less than a tefach of space. Lememra, so we'll say, now this is very interesting. Lememra, tibegozis, so we'll say, so now that what you're telling me is when it comes to stones with a rough, smooth stones, the chol dalet amos, we'll say, if you have a wall that is dalet amos high, I have a pusya chamisha koi. If it has a width of 5 tefachim, it'll stand. Ilo lokoi. But if it doesn't have a width of 5 tefachim, then it won't stand. So we'll say, now listen, this is actually very important. So remember, what the Gemara is saying is the following. We're assuming over here that the minimum height of the kosa that we're talking about in the Mishnah is the height of dalet amos. Because remember, like we said last night, we're talking about over here privacy fences. So the minimum height for a privacy fence is going to be dalet amos. It's a shear, somewhere between 6 and 7 feet. But it's a privacy fence. Now remember, so what we've established is the minimum height is dalet amos, and the minimum width necessary to accommodate a height of dalet amos is 5 tefachim. Because remember, again, that's the shear in the Mishnah for the width of this wall. So now the Gemara says, lememra, is that to tell me, the begozis, the whole dalet amos go, but whenever you have 4 amos in height, he posech hamisha koi, ilo lo koi. If it has a width of 5 tefachim, then the wall can stand. If it doesn't have a width of 5 tefachim, then the wall can't stand. I'll say, now watch this. Big zuchus now. V'ha ama traksin dahavi gavoa tlasin amsa v'lo havi pusya elo shis poshri v'kam. Both say, there's the ama traksin. Both say, a big zuchus. When I say a big zuchus, we're about to learn some sugyas about the Beis HaMikdash. And actually, again, we're going to see some beautiful gemaras about the Beis HaMikdash. You know that the same way that when you say karbanos every single morning, it's very important to say karbanos. Why? Because again, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, when you say karbanos, it's a kiyum in uneshama parim sfasenu. If we can't go ahead and offer karbanos, at least when you say karbanos, it's like a quasi-offering of karbanos. So same thing. We don't yet have the Beis HaMikdash, but when you learn sugis about the Beis HaMikdash, I would tell you to close your eyes, but don't close your eyes, because I want you to see in the Gemara, but you'll open your heart, open your soul, and it's like you're in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a beautiful opportunity to live being close to the Beis HaMikdash for just a few minutes together. So the Gemara over here talks about Amatraxin. So what's Amatraxin? This is very interesting. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall that divided between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodesh. Remember again, we have to one day get like PowerPoint opportunities here. Right. What? I'm sorry. We'll start at 4 a.m. We'll start. So, So let's say, so remember again, in the Beis Hamikdash there was the Kodesh. First of all, remember, there was the Azar, the courtyard. Everybody's in the courtyard. In the what we call the Kodesh, that's where you had the Mizbeach HaKatan, the incense altar, the menorah, the shulchan, right, and all the different kelim. Only kohanim were permitted in that area. In the first Beis Hamikdash, you then had a wall. Behind that wall didn't extend the entire width of the Beis Hamikdash. That wall was just wide enough to block the opening of the Kodesh Kodesh, the Holy of Holies. When the Kohen Gadol wanted to go into the Holy of Holies, he would walk around that wall. That's dramatically different than the second Beis Hamikdash. In the second Beis Hamikdash, and we'll discuss why. It's very exciting. In the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no wall, there was a curtain. Just so you understand, in the Mishkan there was a curtain, in the second Beis Hamikdash there was a curtain, in the first Beis Hamikdash there was a wall. That wall was called the Ama Traxin. Now, if you want to understand more about the etymology, you'll look in Tosas Traxin, we're not going to get into it now. So what about the Ama Traxin, says the Gemara? Dehavi gavoa tlasan amsa. Listen to this. The Ama Traxin was a wall that was 30 amos in height, and yet the width was only 6 tefachim. Now, I will say, those measurements don't make sense according to our Mishnah. Because according to our Mishnah, in order to accommodate a wall that is dalet tefachim high, you already need what? 5 tefachim in width. Which would then mean that what? To accommodate a wall that is 30 tefachim high, you certainly need a lot more than 6 tefachim in width. Yet the Amatraxin did not have that width. To which the Gemara says, here's what's interesting, that apparently these height versus width proportions are not proportional. In other words, that extra tefach of width in the Amatraxin, because remember it wasn't 5, it was 6, allowed it to support a lot more height. Ubamikdasheni, my time lo ama lo abad amatrax. And what's that? I told you this is like amazing Gemaras. So why is it that in the second Beis Hamikdash there was not this wall? Which Gemara says kitlay bitlasin koi tfelo koi. Because what's that? That wall that only had 6 tefachim of width was only capable of sustaining 30 tefachim of height. The ceiling in the second Beis Hamikdash was taller than 30 tefachim. Tfei lokai. So uminalan dahavi gavot tfei. I will say, how do we know that the second Beis Hamikdash was taller than the first Beis Hamikdash? Tichsev gadol yihye kvot habayis hazeh achra min arishon. Because I will say, the pasuk in Chagai says that the greatness, the covet of the second home will be even greater than the first one. What does that mean? Rabu Shmuel, Machlokes is what that means. So Rabu Shmuel, Amri Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Chadamar Bebinyon. One says that literally again, it means that the structure of the second Beis Hamikdash will be greater than the structure of the first Beis Hamikdash. Now before you turn the page, just look at Rashi, the last Rashi on Gimel Amad Aleph, Bebinyon, Shaya Gofu, and this is actually very interesting. Shaya Gofu, Meya Amos, Kidisam Sakhzil. So Bosai, as we're going to see over here, there is a fundamental machlokas, and this is a major machlokas over here about that print in Rashi. Does Rashi mean to say Meya, or does Rashi mean to say Mem? Right? So we're going to see that the Gemara is going to be operating under the assumption that the second Beis Hamikdash was only 10 amos higher than the first Beis Hamikdash. But yet we're going to see it's contradicted by Mishnah Midos, which seems to indicate that the second Beis Hamikdash was 100 amos high, which would make it 70 amos taller than the first Beis Hamikdash. So again, for our purpose, it doesn't matter all that much. What matters for us? It was taller. It was higher, right? That's what matters for us right now. So according to one opinion, the second Beis Hamikdash was greater than the first Beis Hamikdash because the second Beis Hamikdash was taller on the days. The Amri La, the other Bechad Amar Bishanim. But the other opinion says, no, the second temple was greater than the first temple because of years. We'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi, Gimel Amad Beis. Bais Rishon Amar Dalid Meos, Ve'eser Shana. Ubayi Sheni, Dalid Meos, as we'll say, the first Beis Hamikdash stood for 410 years, and the second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years. The Isalaha. And here's the good news, Rabosai. What's the good news? We're making Shalom. They're both right. The first Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash was larger than the first Beis Hamikdash, and it also stood longer than the second first Beis Hamikdash. Then they avdu. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. The Amatraxin was that wall was not there for the second temple. Why? Because again, the ceiling was much higher in the second temple, and therefore again, we couldn't make the Amatraxin. So I'm asking, what's the big deal? Then they avdu tlasin amin bebinyon, the idach ne avid parochas Why in the second Beis Hamikdash, why don't you go ahead, make the amatrax in 30 amos in height, like you had in the first Beis Hamikdash, and what? Make the rest of the height between the top of the amatrax and the top of the wall and the ceiling, paroches. Just make it a beautiful curtain. Says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, the idach navid paroches, ki koi tlasin amsa, nami agaf tikra ma'aziva havakai. Below tikra ma'aziva lo havakai. Ah, we'll say now the Gemara says something very interesting. Do you know why the amatraxin, which was a 30 amma height wall with only 6 tfachim of width, do you know why that wall was able to stand, Rabbi Osei? One simple reason, which was what? The pressure of the ceiling that weighed down upon it. Meaning, really, under normal circumstances, a freestanding wall that is 30 amos high with only 6 tefachim of width will not be able to stand. It's only because you had the pressure of the ceiling against it that weighed down on it that allowed the wall to stand. The ability of that freestanding wall without the pressure of the ceiling would topple. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, so look, so without the ceiling pressure, so make whatever you can of a freestanding wall and just make the rest out of a curtain. To which the Gemara says, we have a tradition, ikulu bebinyan, ikulu beparoches. We'll say, what's our tradition? What's the Mesorah? You got to choose a team. Right? One or the other. Right? Either we're making a paroches or we're making a wall. Because we'll say, remember again, those are the two paradigms we had. Ikulun bebinyan mimikdosh. Either it's all going to be a wall, and our precedent for that is the first Beis HaMikdash, ikulu b'parochas, or you're going to make all of it from parochas, and what's the precedent for that? The Mishkan, fine. So what's that? So again, just to understand, this is amazing. So now we're getting a window into three different structures. The Mishkan has a curtain to divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Bayis, which the first Beis HaMikdash, has a wall, what we call the Amatraxin, to divide up between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kadoshim. Now you know the dimensions of Osai. You know, again, it's important to know the dimensions. Why? Because when you love something, right, if a person is building a house, so they never say to the architect, oh, you know, just make it about this big. Right? Make it about this big. Right? If I'm investing the money, I'm going to know exactly how big this is going to be. When you love something, you care about the dimensions. Now we love the Beis HaMikdash. Now I know that in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll get to other dimensions also, that Amatraxin is 30 amos in height, 6 tefachim in, 6 tefachim in width. Bayesheni, only has a parochas. Why? Because again, we can't have a 30 amma wall because you don't have the weight of the ceiling against it. You can't make part wall, can't make part curtain. So therefore, the only alternative is to go all curtain. By a shlishi, hey Rabbi Yameinu, we'll find out. Temirtz Hashem. Says the Gemara the following. So says the Gemara, Ibai lehu. So we'll say now we're jumping back. We're coming back to the Beis HaMikdash. Do not worry. But we're coming back to Ibai lehu. Hein v'sidan. So we'll say now watch this. Oh, dilma hein below sidan. So we'll say here we go. The way they used to make walls. Look at Rashi just a moment. Hein v'sidan or hein below sidan. Hanishiri de masnisin im ove hatiach. But listen to this. The way they used to make walls is, you see, you would have stones that make a wall, then they would put a layer of plaster outside on the top of those stones. That plaster obviously contributed to some of the width of the wall. So in the Mishnah, when we talk about the widths, do those widths include the plaster coating, or are they without the plaster coating? So says the Gemara, it must be that it includes the plaster coating as well. The measurements include the plaster coating. Because again, if it was without the plaster, then what good is the shira of the Mishnah? Meaning we're looking for total shiurim for widths of the wall. Rather, again, it must be that when the Mishnah gives me, ultimately, again, the measurements, it should give me the measurements on the entire wall. Says the Gemara, Loli Olam, Emelacha Hein Below Sidon. No, rather you have to say what? It must be that the width of the wall is without the plaster. So why doesn't the Mishnah include it? It's very simple. Well, say because simply the amount of the plaster is what? Is negligible. It's negligible, since it's even less than a tefach, therefore again, the Mishnah doesn't even bother to go ahead and discuss it. Yet we see that what? The Mishnah does take into account what? Half tefach measures. So even a half tefach is worthy enough of mentioning.
To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Hasam, chazilitz terufei. We'll say, yes, half tefach is worthy of mention. But that plaster coating on the outside of the cylinder, we'll say, is what? Is what? It's even less than a half a tefach. So when you're getting into less than a half a tefach measurement, it's negligible. It doesn't even warrant mentioning. Kashma, hakoresh amur rachba, kadeh lakabal ariach, v'ariach hatzileveinu shal gimel tefachim. So now we're going to Erevin for just a moment. So remember again, back to our Erevin days, on how many years ago is Erevin? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? In any event, remember again, if you have a mavui, right? You have a mavui, you have an alleyway, and you want to be able to carry that alleyway on Shabbos, what do you have to do? You have to put up a lechi or a korah. So the korah is that beam that sits across the top of the mavui. That beam must be wide enough, right? Rakhva kedei lekabel ariach. So it has to be wide enough to hold an ariach. What's an ariach? An ariach is a half of a brick that is gimel tefachim. To which the Gemara says, saying, now look at Rashi for just a moment. Gimel tefachim, amo gimel tefachim diktani legabi masdis and gabi levinin ki diktani zenos and v'tevach u'mechza v'zenos and v'mechza v'hein below sidon kamar. Now the Gemara infers that these shiurim are without the outside plaster. So you see from here that whenever we give a shiur, the shiur is just about the stones themselves without any external plaster. Hasam b'rav rusa. So the Gemara says it's not a raya because in Erevin we're talking about large bricks. Dikanami diktani shalshlosha tefachim mechlal dikazutra. Therefore, again, the Gemara says the raya to that is the Brisa goes out of its way to say we're talking about a brick of three tefachim, which indicates to us that what? That Lamaisa there are even larger ones. Therefore, Shema Mina, therefore, we see from here, both say that what? Bottom line is that the sid, the plaster coating, is included in the measurements of the thickness of the wall. Fine. Amrav Chista, both say, get ready for this. I'm telling you, I push it. Listen to this that you're about to get into. Amazing. Amrav Chista, lo lister imish bei knishta ad de bani bnei knishta achris. While this is while we're mentioning this, I just do want to bring up, we are building Baruch Hashem. There are incredible dedication opportunities that are still open. You can see myself or Menachem. Yehuda purposely didn't come today. He purposely didn't show up. So this says the Gemara the following. So we'll say it's actually a very important halacha. It is not permitted to go ahead and demolish a shul until you build a new shul. Until you build a new shul. So it says the Gemara, Ikadami, Nabosanai, why is this? Ikadami, Mishum Pshiusa. Others say because of negligence. The Ikadami, Mishum Tsaluye. Others say because you need a place to daven. Nabosanai, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi is over here, Mishum Pshiusa. Dilma Misrami Ones, Upashil Banachrisi. What's going to happen? Maybe people will be negligent, or we'll see. Mishami Ones means that maybe there'll be some type of extenuating circumstance, which we will discuss, which would require the use of the funds for something else, and they will not end up building the shul. That's Pshiusa. As opposed to Tzuluye, Rashi says, Rashi's Mishum Tzuluye, Kol Zman Habinyam. So both say, so two different, so everyone agrees on the principle, which is, you shouldn't demolish an old shul until the new shul is built. Why? Two possibilities. Either A, because we're concerned that you may not end up building the new shul, or B, because if you demolish the old shul, you may not have a place to daven in the interim. So says the Gemara, Ika Beinahu. So says the Gemara, what's the practical difference between these two approaches? The Ika Beinish Tachrisi. Both said the Nafkamini would be water both sides, where there's another shul. So there's another shul. See, if you hold the concern is that if you demolish the old structure, there's not going to be a place to daven. So that's not a concern. Why? Because there is another shul, but if you hold that it's an issue of pshia that we're concerned that they may not end up building the new building, then ein achinami, even if there is another shul to daven in, that concern would still apply. Mareimar umar zutra, sasri ubanu be kaita besivsa, ubane be sisva be kaita. Well, see, it's interesting. They used to have summer shuls and winter shuls. What were summer shuls and winter shuls? So summer shuls had more windows and allowed for a cross breeze. Winter shuls were often built in lower areas with lesser windows that did not allow for the flow of air. So Mareimar and Mazucha, what they would do is they would go ahead and demolish the summer shuls during the winter and demolish the winter shuls and rebuild them during the summer. The idea is that they always demolished and rebuilt shuls when? Off season, that's the idea. Amrami Rabino Ravashi, Gavu Zuze Umachsiman. Both listen to this. So now, here's what we've established is that essentially you cannot demolish the old building until the new building is already standing. So ask the, and again, seems to be the logic behind that is we're concerned, you know, that what happens, some other cause may come up, the money may have to be diverted for that other cause, and therefore the new shul will never get built.
So Ravina asked Rav Ashi the following question. Gavi zuzi umachsi mai. What happens? Look at Rashi. Gavi zuzi umachsi, letzorach pesach neses achadosh, umunachim biyad agave, mi'ikal amechash lepshiu solo. What happens if the money is mamish collected? Right, let's say again, the money is good. Right, whatever the amount of money necessary to build the building is, or the money is in hand. Could we knock down the old building knowing that the money for the new building is already in hand? Amrele, to which he said, no. No, why? Because even if the money is collected, what happens if there's a pigyon shvuyim? What happens if you have to redeem captives? That money will have to go, right? Pigyon shvuyim is sakhanas nafashos, right? It's direct life. You're going to have to divert that money ultimately again to the shvuyim. And therefore, again, the money may be gone. You'll have no shul. What happens? We'll say, what happens if the bricks are stacked, the beams are there? In other words, the building materials are purchased and at the site ready to build. Can you knock down the old shul under those circumstances? He said, no. Amar le zimnin, demisramilu pinyon shvuyim, mizabni viyabilu. What can happen, Rabosai? You might have to sell off all the building materials. Why? To go ahead and redeem captives. You say, Amar ihachi, afilu banu nami. So if that's the case, again, even if they built the building, maybe they're going to have to sell the building, liquidate the building in order to redeem captives. To which the Gemara says, "Amalei no, dirase di inchi lo mizabni." It's not true. We'll say people don't. There's not an obligation to sell your homes. There's not an obligation to sell your shul for pinyon shul. In other words, the concern that monies may be used for pinyon shul only applies when before the structure is built. But once the structure is built, no one sells the structure in order to redeem captives. Below Amran. So by the way, this is a halacha really on the books. Now again, there are exceptions to this rule. There are, obviously, because it's is nice in the whole yom, that people knock down old shuls in order to build new shuls. But again, in the purest form, it is best to build the new building before we have the great sechus to be able to do this, Amir Tz Hashem, to God willing, build our new building right on the site next to us. And Amir Tz Hashem, the old building only comes down once the new building is built. But there's an important exception. That is only true when what? When you don't see cracks in the old structure. But if you see cracks, what does that refer to, seeing cracks? That means, again, when there's a sakana. Now, if there's an element of sakana in the old building, it's got to come down, then you could take it down. Rav Ashi saw cracks in the shul of Masa Mechasya. He ordered it demolished, but look what he did. He brought his bed to the construction site. And he did not go ahead and take it away until they put up the gutters on the building. What Ravashi was concerned about, is that once they demolished the building, what happens? Everybody was going to take their time. So what happens? What did he do? He moved his bed to the construction site and essentially he said, I'm not leaving here until this building is built. I had a havamina to try this, but I didn't think it would work. Right, Ravashi, it worked. Right, so Ravashi, I'm not leaving. And sure enough, he didn't move his bed until what? Until they put up the gutters. Right, the gutters represent like the finishing touches of the building. Ultimately, again, in order to go ahead and get the shul built expedition. So we'll stop over here. Now, again, we're going to start at 5:50 tomorrow morning. Now, I just want to tell you, you do not want to miss the beginning of tomorrow's daf, because tomorrow is the story of Hordus of Herod and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So we'll start 5:40. I might try to even sneak in like an extra minute at 5:49. So maybe you could just to get it at 5:45 just to be on the safe side. But Amir HaTashem, we're going to start from here, Amir HaTashem, tomorrow. Yeah.